Chapter 12, Meditation, Your Moment of Creation. Bringing forth from your mind. Now let's talk about how to bring forth what you've seen or envisioned with the eyes of your mind. Creation doesn't end with you just simply imagining a thing and leaving it at that. After you've seen it, you've got to create it and form it. Let's take our cue from God Himself. The Bible says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 27. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Understand what God did here. First, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 27, He created man from within. And then in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, He formed man from the dust of the ground, according to what He had created from within Himself. I suppose this would have taken some time. You say, "But God created man on the sixth day." Yes, but don't forget that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. That's because He lives in eternity. So God created and formed in His own image and after His likeness this excellent creature that He called man. Now, you have an image, a vision you want to bring forth. Remember, your imaginative power is your creative ability. Whatever you can imagine, you can create. So, it's important that you imagine. It's something you've got to learn to do for yourself. But here's where many have misunderstood vision. They are waiting on God to give them one when they should be creating it. There are visions God shows you in your spirit, which you don't have any influence over. Remember the eyes of your spirit. And there are those you must create with your mind. When God has given you a word concerning anything, then you have the right to produce it, and its creation begins in your mind. Your times alone. This is why it's so important that you have times of privacy to work on and with your mind. I call those times moments of creation. How we need to have such moments alone, where we are not imagining how we're going to get back at those who offended us. Some people use their moments alone to bring up such unpleasant images and end up creating all the wrong things in their lives. Then they turn around and wonder where their problems are coming from. You ought to spend your moments alone creating what you want. When a negative picture comes to your mind, stop it and replace it with the right one. True meditation is creation. Isaac, the son of promise, had learned something from Abraham, his father. The scriptures show him as a deeply spiritual man who meditated often. On one occasion, Abraham asked his head servant to go get Isaac a wife. And when he returned with Isaac's wife, they found him meditating. Genesis chapter 24, verses 63 to 64. He had learned the power of meditation, knowing that your moments of meditation are your moments of creation. True meditation is creation, but not too many people have learned to use their moments of meditation to create. In the general sense, to meditate means to focus one's thoughts on, reflect on, or ponder over, to plan or project in the mind. However, in Scripture, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, the Hebrew word translated meditate is haggah, and it means to ponder, to mutter, to roar. This reveals the three stages or levels of meditation. Meditation, therefore, refers not only to pondering, ruminating, or reflecting on something. It also implies muttering that thought under your voice, speaking it out, and roaring it to yourself. In other words, you are saying something with your mind focused on it. You are getting your whole system to accept a certain truth. We can see that Isaac had learned the same lesson God taught his father. He knew what to do with his mind and his times of meditation. when everyone was fleeing from Gerar and running to Egypt because the economy was bad. The Lord appeared to him in one of his time of meditation and told him, "Don't pack up and run off like everybody else. Stay in this land, and I'll give you everything." Genesis chapter 26, verses 2 to 3. Isaac stayed put, and even though there was a severe drought in the land, everywhere he dug, his well sprang water. When others' crops failed, his flourished. Genesis chapter 26, verses 12 to 25. The Bible says he prospered and continued to prosper until he became so great and prominent in the land that the Philistine envied him. Genesis chapter 26, verses 12 to 14. He was a man of great prosperity, but he created it through meditation on God's promise. Jacob's creative imagination. Jacob also learned the same thing from Isaac, his father. He had discovered the power of meditation and how to use his mind to create what he wanted. This was why, even though he suffered many things under his uncle Laban for many years, he came out very prosperous in the end. Before we see how Jacob did it, let's first establish the backdrop for his extraordinary story. He loved Rachel, Laban's younger daughter, and wanted to marry her. Laban said it was fine with him, but Jacob must serve him for 7 years before he could have Rachel as his wife. Jacob served the 7 years, and at the end of the period, Laban reneged on their agreement and tricked him into marrying Leah, the older daughter, instead. But Jacob wanted Rachel so much, and Laban knew this and took advantage of it. He presented Jacob with another offer. "Serve me 7 more years, and Rachel will be yours." Genesis chapter 29, verse 27. Jacob agreed and served Laban for another 7 years, making a total of 14 years before he eventually had Rachel as his wife. Jacob continued serving Laban, who had over the period reviewed his salary, not upward but downward, on 10 different occasions. I mean, the man was just a mean, dishonest boss. Well, one day, Jacob went to Laban and said, "Uncle, it's time for me to leave. My wives are having kids, and our family is growing larger. Better for us to leave now before we become nuisance to you and to this place." Read Laban's response. "If I have found favor in your sight, please stay here, for I have learned that the Lord has blessed me on account of you. Just name your wages. I'll pay whatever you want." Genesis chapter 30, verses 27 to 28 of the New English Translation Bible. Jacob agreed to stay a while longer and serve Laban, and now Laban tells him, "I'll pay whatever you want." But Jacob saw through the smokescreen. This was the man who changed his wages 10 times now, asking him to name his price. He'd had enough of Laban's dishonesty, so he replied, "I don't want you to pay me anything. Just do one thing, and I'll take care of your sheep and goats." Genesis chapter 30, verse 31 of the Contemporary English Version Bible. Here was what Jacob asked, and this is where we begin to see his creative mind at work. Laban and his sons were to take away all the spotted, speckled, and stripped animals from the herd, leaving only the pure colored ones. If those ones gave birth to any spotted, speckled, or stripped young, they'd be Jacob's wages for his services as Laban's herdsmen. Both Jacob and Laban knew there was very little chance of that ever happening. But Laban, being the dishonest boss, was very happy with the deal. Now, he didn't have to cheat Jacob anymore. He figured Jacob had cheated himself with this absurd deal he concocted. Laban and his sons promptly took away the spotted, speckled, and stripped animals and separated them from Jacob's herd by a distance of 3 days' journey, leaving him with the pure colored ones. Now, they waited to see how Jacob would pull this off and have his own livestock and support his family. Let's see how he did it. How Jacob created with his imagination. "And Jacob took him rods of green poplar, and of the hazel and chestnut tree, and peeled white streaks in them, and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks in the gutters and the watering troughs when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink." Genesis chapter 30, verse 37. Observe closely what Jacob was doing here. He wasn't carrying out a ritual, as some have thought or suggested. He was helping his vision in the same way God helped Abraham's vision by getting him to count the stars. Jacob got rods from poplar, hazel, and chestnut trees and made markings on them so they looked like the designs on the bodies of the stripped, spotted, and speckled animals. Next, he placed these rods where the animals came to drink and mate, because he was trying to help his vision of them bringing forth spotted, speckled, and stripped young, and he thought it could happen if they'd mate in front of the rods. So he set his focus on this. This is how to help your vision. You meditate until your whole mind is inundated with the idea of what you want to see. That's why sometimes, when you want to meditate and you are in your closet with nothing in front of you, it'll be difficult to see anything. Start by reading scripture or some other material in the direction of your vision. I tell people, if you want to have a productive fast, get some books you are going to study during the period so your mind can be well focused. If you say you are fasting or meditating and you are not focusing on anything, then your mind isn't creating any picture. This is something you got to learn. Jacob understood this. He knew that the things we see were not made of things that appear. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Let's get back to his story now. And he set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks in the gutters in the watering troughs when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods, and brought forth cattle ring-straight, speckled, and spotted. Genesis chapter 30, verse 38. It worked. Those pure colored cattle actually gave birth to ring-straight, stripped, speckled, and spotted young. Now watch what Jacob did next. And Jacob did separate the lambs, and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring-straight, and all the brown in the flock of Laban, and he put his own flocks by themselves, and put them not unto Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's. Genesis chapter 30, verses 40 to 42. Isn't this amazing? I told you Jacob wasn't performing a ritual. He had started out by placing his marked rods before the cattle, so that when they saw the rods while mating, they conceived their young with designs like those on the rods. But now he no longer needed the rods. This time, he put the spotted, speckled, and ring-straight calves and lambs before the adult ones, so that as they mated, they'd conceive such as the ones they were seeing in front of them. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's. Genesis chapter 30, verses 41 to 42. Don't think Jacob was cheating Laban here. All he was doing was helping his vision and ensuring he had the best possible outcome. So each time the strong cattle mated at the watering trough, he put in the marked rods so they would conceive stripped, spotted, and speckled young. And when he noticed it was the weaker cattle mating, he removed the rods so they produced their regular pure-colored offspring. What Jacob did was to use his imaginative power, his creative ability. You can create the vision you want in your mind. It's something you've got to consciously choose to do. Don't think, well, I can't see any vision until it appears to me. No, the vision that would appear to you without you working it is the one in your spirit. Leave that to God. Truth is, you may never see a spiritual vision while on this earth, but that shouldn't stop you from being as successful as you choose to be if you'll create the ones He gave you the ability to produce. Not from things that appear. Laban and his sons couldn't figure out how Jacob came about having so many speckled, spotted, and ring-straight cattle when he wasn't even supposed to have any. They accused him of stealing from them. So he thought it necessary to open up to his wives, Laban's daughters, and show them how he made it happen. Genesis chapter 31, verses 10 to 12. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived, that I lifted up mine eyes, and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ringstraked, speckled, and grizzled. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, Here am I. And he said, Lift up now thine eyes, and see, all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ringstraked, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. Here Jacob showed his wives the spiritual side of things. He told them how he kept seeing a vision of what should have been pure colored rams appearing ringstraked, speckled, and grizzled as they made it. Notice he didn't say, I saw in the dream that I lifted up my eyes. That would have meant he was sleeping and then he had this dream. But he said, I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream. That's talking about a vision of his mind that he created while he was fully awake. And when you see like this, God tells you, son, daughter, you've got it. The things we see were not made of things that appear. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3.